Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August the 19th, 110th day of the new year. It wasn't raining when you drove up, was it?
It was not.
Oh, right. Roof down, wind blowing through the hair from the hospital to here.
Joe Marcus with us. Not that crazy, but it was dry when I came in.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Okay. Anyway, I see that. I just opened up the window.
Risque enough.
Nobody believes the hair thing anyway, so it doesn't matter. this afternoon, we'll get an update what's going on at the hospital. Get, I'm sure, some general comments as we start kind of the wind down, if you will. As most of you know, Joe has said he's going bye-bye.
Right.
So we'll talk a bit about that, some of the things that are going on, some of the things that he sees, and we'll kind of do a two- or a three-show wind down on this. So, and we'll find out if he can, if he still has that Midwest accent thing.
Oh, you never lose that.
Yeah. Or if he can take a little California back.
Yeah, that's
either
right.
Way, we'll find out when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Isaac Singer. Quote, when you betray someone else, you also betray yourself.
Oh.
Isn't that kind of a interesting little morph?
That is.
Yeah. So how is the tower coming along?
Oh, my God. The tower. The tower is doing well.
Right around now is about what you were hoping
to be in it. Exactly. Yeah. And we've had to resort to bringing in a professional scheduler, sitting down with all the subs, and I'm to be given a schedule within the next few work days that will say, these are the dominoes, these are the missing parts, these are the state inspections, and this is the training schedule for when you can be in. I will be shocked if we're in it before fall. I don't have a definitive date, but...
Because of the coordination? The
coordination of all the dominoes in terms of what needs to be finished. For example, we got a part allegedly coming from Japan that links the fire alarm system to the magnetic door holders so that when that thing trips, the doors automatically close. And when I said, well, where's the part? And they said, well, a Japanese company said there was problems in the tsunami. And I said, well, it's been a while. Is there any other place we can get this part? So it's a lot of little frustrating things like that. Nothing really big, you know, no big hassles with any particular contractor, but a lot of little things that are very irritating that have to get done before you can invite the state inspection folks in and say, we're ready.
Are they standing poised? Ready to come running?
The state, yeah, I think they've been
pretty reasonable.
So once
the other steps are in place, everything will fall together rather quickly.
Yeah, and then we can schedule our staff in for stocking and training, and that's a 6 to 8 week process once we've got literally the keys to go.
So you pay you'll be coming back to visit the tower.
Yes, it could happen that way. We're going to hang around. I mean, I finish up my responsibilities the end of June, but we're planning on hanging around and enjoying Humboldt County. Without any job
stress.
So
that might be the tower.
Yeah, exactly. So we may see it yet.
So as you look back on it, it sounds like nickel and dime stuff. Okay. Is that a coordination effort? Is that the little details that were kind of forgotten around the corners?
All the above.
The edges?
All the above. It needed to have tighter coordination than what we had. There was some role.
Even after the changes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And some role confusion as we switched over from Skanska to the health system becoming the general contractor and then subbing a piece of that out. And then just communication things that should have been much tighter. So that's been corrected. And I've told folks that not only with my board but with the community, I'd like to be able to answer definitively, we will be in on
X.
Monday whatever.
Yeah.
2012.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we remember the year part.
Yeah, it's been a very frustrating experience, particularly when you don't have 100% local control of a project. It's being managed by, you know, a corporate office bunch that's very well-intentioned from Orange, on the ground with local contractors, and you got additional coordination headaches, and you're not the guy standing there holding the prod, if you will. You can spark it along, you can express frustration, you can put a squeeze on cash flow in terms of interim financing, but in terms of managing it, it's not the same thing as if you'd had 100% control. And I probably ought to leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, it's tough whenever you're not on site.
It is, yeah.
For those
you're
who are there.
You're coming and going, yeah, it's not the
yourself.
Same.
And yourself, yeah.
Yes.
Just, there's really no way around that, you know, in this kind of a scenario.
No, there isn't.
That's not a variable that could be changed. Are there things that, in hindsight, or let's say you've got another tower project down the road,
mm-hmm.
that this is a good example of what to do in a large percentage of it, but mm-hmm. that there's some fine tuning. So if you ever get the chance to coordinate or to be part of another project or construction, are there lessons that the hospital learned? Are there lessons that you've learned
for
that can
sure.
roll to the next project?
For sure, yeah. The biggest one would be whoever the construction management team lead is that represents the owner. Needs to be boots on the ground. And not necessarily 5 days a week through a construction week, but at least two or three. And then much tighter.
Now, could you have done that as being the head guy at the hospital?
No, but it would.
Somebody else.
I could have been in working with somebody like that was on the ground here that would have had more authority. And then that person then could have got the subs together and said, hey, let's work this out. We got to get back to a revised schedule. Joe needs to sign off on it. He needs to be able to communicate to his team when to start training, et cetera. So that's the piece I would want to tighten down. The other piece would be if I ever had that kind of trouble with a general contractor on a job again, I would have pulled the plug earlier and just said with the construction team from Orange, look, we've given this a shot. This is throwing us way off. Opening this thing 18 months after its projected date is insane-o. And you allow for some slack in that, and you build it into your project schedules. But when it's real clear you're not getting straight answers and people are doing the artful dodge on you, I think we bent over backwards too much to a fault.
Yardsticks? No. What's it called? Red flags? What are the things on the side of the road? Highway markers. There we go.
Yeah.
Markers along the way that were giving indications that things weren't progressing properly.
And
or were they even there?
Told that some were that weren't. That was the
bigger
problem. Yes.
Fallacies.
Yes.
See, I can use.
Or it'll be done
too.
In this period of time, and it's really this period of time. And communication issues with the subcontractors. Our local subcontractors have been great through this. That's not where the problem's been. It's been on overall project lead.
KINS News and Information Times 422. We'll be back with more from Joe Mark.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Marks from St. Joe's. Joe, the communication challenge that is difficult for a small business, I'm thinking like five and under.
Mm-hmm.
You tell three or four people, geez, did I tell that guy already or not? Yeah, I probably did. Okay. And then, of course, you didn't. It's got to be multiplied on steroids for your mm-hmm. organization. True, real, what is. And then that other side, the rumor control, the damage control, the people who are running around that aren't saying anything that's true.
Yes.
But somehow it's impacting the operations of the company. Is that a specialization unto itself?
It very much is, and you have to have an organization of leaders that understand how important it is. I mean, you can make the best decision in the world, but if it's poorly communicated, and it's not communicated in the sequence with which people have the right to know and should know, it creates huge problems. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, when there's a negative reaction to the decision, it typically isn't the decision per se. Normally, people know that we've weighed alternatives and we had the right people in the room and we had some tough, you know, internal, external circumstances. But at the end of the day, the thing that people complain about is, why did this team hear it ahead of that team? So we got a very organized process right now where the decisions get cascaded out to the Board of Trustees, of course, so that they're aware of it and can respond when asked questions on the street. Senior leadership team, management team throughout both hospitals, and then there's an emailing cascade that goes out to the medical staffs at both places and to all the employees. And then press releases are prepared ahead of time in anticipation that we want good facts to go out there, to your point. And a line coming back through Leslie Brummel's office that if people got questions or the press want to have an interview or something like that, it has to be very organized because it is difficult to get it out to 1,200 plus employees, 400 or 500 doctors and their staffs, and really do it in a way that is, you know, thoughtful and making sure that the people that need to hear it first really hear it first.
And everybody understands that that's the way it's supposed to play out.
Yes, most reasonable people do now. Others say, why didn't you tap me on the shoulder and tell me that one was coming? Well, you know, it didn't directly affect you. It affected some other folks that needed to hear it first.
Yeah, or, and I'm probably the harshest critic of media around, or as harsh, let me say it that way. You get some of the media guys who think that they should get it first.
Yeah, oh yeah, or exclusively.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
You know, this is impacting all these lives.
Yes.
This is a story in one of your news presentations.
Yes.
For a news cycle. No. You'll get your information, but you're not the lead dog.
Exactly. Well, and we've been very open with the media. I think for the 6 years that I've been here, we welcome them in. All we ask for is a good, balanced, factual writing. And I would say 95 times out of 100 that I can think of, we got that. And the media has been very respectful of our processes in terms of need to know and how it rolls out.
See, I'm lazy. I get you out here.
Yes.
So me going there. You finally figured that one out. Good. 6 years and you figured it out. Okay.
I'm a little slow.
Some of the challenges that Joe's is dealing with, is it in the Bay Area? Is it in the North Bay? Is it in the southern part of the state? Is it endemic throughout the state?
It's across the United States in pockets everywhere, rural, suburban, remote, major city. Folks are really positioning their institutions, whether it's a multi-specialty group doctor practice or a hospital, anticipating healthcare reform and needing to cut on average 20% of your operating costs to be able to merely break even.
From where things are today.
From where they are currently, yes. I mean, that's a big challenge to get there by the end of 2014, but assuming that the Healthcare Reform Act flies and doesn't get reversed, killed by the Supreme Court or whatever, that's the expected scenario. And for hospitals, we've been told basically Medicare equivalent rates. Well, when Medicare and Medi-Cal only covering, on average, 80% of your cost, therein lies the problem.
There's your magic 20.
Yeah, and that's just to have some kind of operating margin, let alone replace your plant and equipment. And philanthropy is going to continue to play a major role for hospitals across the country. Because there simply isn't going to be enough capital from operating profits to stay current and fund appreciation the way it needs to be funded.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431. We'll be back with more from Joe Marks.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Marks from St. Joseph. Joe, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there in the future, what do you see is the big one? Is it the restructuring of the compensation? Is it Obamacare? Is it people holding off on elective surgery? Is it docs, everybody wanting to be a specialist instead of a generalist? What do you see, or is there a single?
There's a very broad one that encompasses a lot of pieces, but I think it's shifting.
Okay, you can't say life.
No,
that does not count.
No, I wasn't going quite that broad.
Okay.
But we got to shift from to where the financial incentives are, do more to do better. So, for example, if I do more surgeries and I manage it with good expenses and I do it efficiently, then I make out. The future game, if you will, is population management, where we will be part of a healthcare delivery network taking care of every need you could have under the sun: prevention, wellness, acute care, chronic care, nursing home care, managed by a board that would be responsible for the overall health status improvement and managing the flow of dollars to the provider community to meet all your needs. So, for example, if we partnered with other hospitals and doctor groups from, say, Napa, Sonoma, up through Del Norte, we'd have a group of participating hospitals, a group of participating doctor networks, and say we went after the whole 547,000 people that would be in that region. We would say we need to set up a board to manage the health needs of those 500,000 people, and that board has the fun task of sitting down and deciding what the providers are going to be paid.
Now, are you thinking like an elected board? In a special district? Or?
Yeah, a full fiduciary board that basically would function much like Kaiser Permanente functions today. Kaiser is first and foremost an insurance company that happens to have big networks of physicians on contract and hospitals, and they view them as their cost centers. Their profit margin comes off their insurance business, and they tend to skim young, healthy families, frankly, which is why they do so well as a health plan. Now, when they got to start competing for everybody, regardless of pre-existing conditions, and possibly going for people that are going to be jumping from insurance companies into the health exchanges, that game's going to change for them big time, too. So I'd say the overall trend is moving away from episodic, do more, do better, to manage prevention, wellness, keep people well, get them into the right level of care when they need it, get them in, get them out, get them home, take care of them in the home setting, spend less to get the same or better quality outcomes and improve the overall quality of people's lives.
So in doctor and medicine school, are they teaching, are there people coming out who have degrees in prevention, in at-home health care, or at-home medical care, mm-hmm. in some of these areas that may have existed before, but it was called a can of chicken noodle soup? It was called eat an apple, go outside and play around, things that...
Eat enough bran, that's right.
Yeah, rather than having careers and specialization and research and everything focused on these areas.
Yeah, I think, the general practitioners, family practitioners, internists tend to get, a fair amount of that, but they're not experts in any stretch of the imagination in terms of wellness. It tends to come from your wellness practitioners that are out there, people that are dietitians, people that are exercise knowledgeable.
But how many people have a dietitian?
A personal dietitian? Well, very few.
Yeah, so how does that information then mainstream?
How does it get out to that population?
To the population or to the individual. In the population, you can say, okay, the internet, or we can say radio shows, or we can say TV shows or magazines. Okay, fine. But if that's how medicine was being practiced, we'd have a lot more people dead. So how do we do this?
Or maybe living longer, healthier, and having their illness compressed into a smaller part of their life to where, we cut into the chronic illness that's plaguing so many people in this country. I think it's going to eventually come through what they're calling euphemistically the medical home. So you're going to see more teams of providers supervised by physicians, physician assistants, clinical nurse practitioners taking care of a defined population, and that education, that component, that prevention responsibility will reside with that core group. And then they will gate those
patients. So you go to the doctor office.
Yeah.
and they're going to have a nutritionist there, and they're going to have
check your weight,
a psychologist,
your body fat index,
and.
Yes, yes. Or have them in their network to refer you to. And the whole emphasis is going to have you staying as well as you can through all aspects. Right now, there's no incentive for that. They don't get paid anything for that. And so, you know, you're on your own. You know, hopefully, you know, you're taking care of yourself, exercising, eating right, whatever. But when it becomes the way the entire healthcare
I do the
system,
whatever part best, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. That's the funner part, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the incentive's got to change for the consumer as much as for the providers. I mean, we're talking about a radical paradigm shift in the way we pay for care and what we're paying for it. And the new system of the future, if you will, whether it's Obamacare or single payer or we figure something else in between the two, it boils down to keeping people well, keeping them out of expensive care settings, eliminating duplication and waste. And the big incentives that we're going to have to watch very carefully, you're not getting something ordered for you, because the more I order for you, the more that comes out of the health plan's fixed pot of dough to take care of you. So then we're going to have safeguards built in to make sure that as you come into the system, your need gets met, staff follows the established algorithm of the best national practice, and you know you're getting exactly what you need. I think we'll eliminate a lot of unnecessary tests. People will stay healthier in the long run. And I think we're talking pie in the sky if anybody thinks we're going to radically shift the health of this population within the next 10 or 15 years. In my judgment, it's a 20 or 30 year process. And that's with a big push towards completely changing the way we pay for healthcare in the short run.
So the model of having the nutritionist in with the GP and all these other services, at this point, it just doesn't pencil out.
No, because they basically get paid for taking care of illness. I don't get paid a nickel for keeping you well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 441. We'll be back with more from Joe Marks.
Crazy.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark. So we got 5 minutes, just a quick little brief. So what are you guys thinking about doing?
You guys as in Peggy and
Joe? You guys as in Peggy and Joe, yeah.
Yeah, great question. Peggy, I'll start with, is winding down in the home stretch of her dissertation on her doctorate in leadership and organizational change. She recently got...
You could have used her, you know.
Well, I do. What makes I just couldn't pay her anything consulting I was getting privately. So she's anxious to get back into the workforce. She's been out for 5 years working on this doctorate. She's got a good lead on a position back in the large health system that she worked in before back in Ohio. That may or may not pan out. For me, most likely I'll re-energize my LLC and consult to hospitals and major physician group practices and try to give them, from my experience over 33 years, how to make it more efficient and how to position for a future that basically means less funds coming in and completely changing the incentives. I think that would be great career capping work, and that's kind of
what
my
fun?
Passion is. I think it'll be a blast, yeah.
You know, the consultant thing, I think either people say yes or they say no.
Well, and I did it for, you know, the better part of 10 years. And I mean, the only downside to it really was the road time. And some of it was the type of consulting I was doing that was keeping me on the road 3 or 4 nights a week because of the continuity that was needed. That's a little tough. But I love working with clients. I love having a clean beginning, middle, and end. At the end of the engagement, you know, you gave them your best. You networked other people in and their expertise, and they gave their best. And you left them with a great set of whatever they need to do. Now, whether they implement or not,
that's not your call.
I ain't living with it. They are.
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very freeing that way, and it's very interesting going into different organizations. You've been in one organization, you've been in one organization. Every single client is different.
I would think it would be intriguing. The work environment is probably very similar, but the challenges and the cultures and the
yes.
Medicine's medicine. If you're in Florida, it's medicine. If you're in Alaska, it's medicine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So the constant is there.
Yes.
But the other stuff and being able to get into it and then leave.
Yeah.
And tackle something else so you never get into that
The culture.
Here
and
we
the
go
history.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the culture and the history are the two toughest things to deal with. The business problems, there aren't a lot of new problems and there aren't a lot of really creative solutions, a few breakthrough ones, but it's dealing with what's the place been through in the last 10 years? How stable has their board and their executive team been?
Not having to worry about personalities.
Yes, totally.
Just looking at everything as a set scenario. Everything
yes.
is logic.
Yes.
No emotion in the mix.
Yes, and what's at risk for the client? That's usually the bottom line on whether they're going to implement or not. Are they the worried well? Or on the other end of the spectrum, are they hemorrhaging and really need desperate help and need to move quickly? And then you got everything in between. And that's the fascinating, real challenging part, is those needs are very different when you go into work with a client.
Going into different communities has got to be a kick, though, too.
It is.
I mean, that's just got to be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long does a project last? Is it 2 or 3 months and
depends
you visit
on the
them
project.
Weekly?
It can be
typically,
6-8 weeks where you go in and do an organizational assessment. You go through rev cycle, supply chain, medical staff, strategy, you know, all the core elements of the business. You got subject matter specialists, maybe 10 deep, that come in and work with you and you network them.
So you fly in on a Monday and you stay till Thursday?
Usually a Thursday afternoon, yeah, and then fly out. And then that engagement typically will last 6 to 8 weeks to an interim gig. Like when I came here and was asked to stay on at St. Joe's in an interim and be an interim CEO for some period of time while maybe they're going through a due diligence for a sale or a merger, or they just got a turnover in a CEO and they want something.
That to me wouldn't be consulting.
Oh, but it is.
That to me is something else.
It is, because you're going in and you got fresh eyes and you don't have a stake in the ground for the long pull. You're basically, you can go in there completely devoid of politics and who's going to think something about what, and you give them your best. You give them your best as a team.
But wouldn't you be getting close to wanting to implement some of those things then, instead of just making the recommendations?
Well, you'd actually, depending on how long you're there, you may have to start. The best advice I ever was given by somebody that retained me on a job, Navigant, told me this in Chicago. Whenever you go in, you never put a single recommendation on the table unless you're personally willing to see it through. Because they may ask you to stay. You may be the person doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, don't kick yourself in the teeth.
Yeah. Make sure it's real. It can be stretched, but make damn sure you can do it and pull it off.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect. Thanks for coming by, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking Shop this afternoon with Joe Marks. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love to see you tomorrow.